You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I think it's going to be a long, long time. Till touchdown, bring me around again and fine. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no. I'm a rocket.
And today he literally was.
Oh, it's so good.
Burning out his fuse out here alone.
Sing it, or if that's what that is, William.
I don't know what that is.
God, is that classic. Man's a treasure. Speaking of treasures, here's Dan Orlovsky. Time for the Dan Orlovsky Report, brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. Hey, Dan, what's up?
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Now, not that we need to know that you know what you're talking about, but boy, you know what you're talking about. You said last week that Zach Wilson struggles on short throws, and boy, did he ever, and he talked about it at length yesterday. So I guess it didn't get any better this week.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch that game, there's really two moments that almost flipped the game. You know, they've got that bubble screen kind of out to the right to Crowder. And candidly, Mike LaFleur cannot have called a better play. And it's just pitch and catch, you know, almost in the backyard against the pressure, and he throws it in the dirt. And you're sitting there and going, man, how does that happen? And it's definitely one of those, I'm trying to guide the football to him. The screen pass that hits the offensive lineman in the back is the same thing. I'll never forget, I used to have Gary Kubiak was my coach, longtime NFL coach, and you know, Kube would talk about screens, and listen, they're not easy throws when it comes to navigating the bodies that are near it. But I had a very similar play in a preseason game once, and a walk-in touchdown, which would have been for the Jets. And he called me over. He said, hey, man. I said, what's up? And he goes, look at everybody in the offense. They're all dejected. He said, you got to find a freaking way. And it was one of those moments where you just got to find a way to make that throw. It's so important. And, you know, Zach is – listen, I could put it simply with this. Zach's mind is forcing his body to play poorly, to play slow. Even the interception, you could tell he's thinking about doing something, and his body's just taking such a long time to do stuff. So he's going through some difficulties, going through some growing pains. This is the moment, God rest his soul, you know, where they very much so miss a guy like Greg Knapp.
No, we were just talking about the comparisons, first five games to his start to the career and Josh Allen's. That was brought up by Saleh back on Monday. And that's just looking at stats. If you go back in your memory bank, are there similarities? We're looking beyond the stats. Do you see the potential for him to become in 3 years what Josh Allen's become?
You know, I think I mean, Josh Allen was a freakazoid athlete runner as well. And I don't think, you know, if anybody hasn't seen Josh in person, Josh was every bit of 6'5", 245 pounds. So just Josh was, there was moments where you could watch him play athletically and you'd be like, oh goodness, that has the chance to be a problem. Josh was missing downfield a lot. You know, he was so, I got this big rocket cannon arm, you know, he would just let it loose. And there was mechanically, fundamentally stuff that was poor. You know, his lower half was never attached to his upper half. You know,
and ill-advised throws early on too.
Yeah, and because you're so talented, I can make that throw because I did against, you know, BYU or whoever he may have played defensively in the Mountain West Conference or for Wyoming. But you know, Zach is missing throws that, you know who I'll tie it to a little bit more candidly, just throw wise, Lamar Jackson. That's who I would tie it to rookie year wise. I remember watching Lamar's rookie year, and the whole question was, well, because Lamar only played, I think, 7, 8, 9 starts his rookie year, and the question was, well, what does Lamar need to do going into his second year? And I remember doing touchscreens on SportsCenter all the time. I'd be like, he just got to hit layups. you know, just hit these layups that your coaches call, because we've seen your ability to throw and push the ball downfield and the athleticism. Hit the easy stuff. And I would compare it to more of Lamar Jackson's rookie year of we see some highs, but then the head-scratching lows are stuff that is so easy. That would be the comparison for me.
Dan, I didn't love the last week for our boy Sam Darnold. Are you seeing any regression in Sam over the last couple of weeks?
Yes. Well, why? No Christian there is a big deal. They were tying Christian into progressions. I did not like – so 2 weeks ago against the Cowboys, I was okay with the performance. This past week, I did not like. One, passing up open guys to get to more open guys. First third down of the game. He's got a flat route to his left. He's looking at it. Well, throw the ball, Sam. So I didn't like that. Like, it was – you know, Sam has done such a nice job of being a distributor this year. Now, you just take the open guy. You don't have to think that someone's going to be more open. The interception on the sideline that Darius Slade cuts in cover two. Just throw the out route, dude. Just throw the out route. It's open. The second pick by Slade is honestly just a great play. The adage of I'm forcing the ball, trying to do too much, trying to fit completions in. Again, don't pass up an open guy to get to a more open guy. And I think that's what Sam showed this past week. I'm not thinking that there's this massive regression, but I didn't like his performance this past weekend.
All right, so we see Daniel Jones get his bell rung. And I always go back to Eli with this. Eli never missed a game because he was hurt. And they never designed running plays for Eli because he couldn't run, except for maybe a dive at the goal line. Now, Daniel can run, but is it worth it for him to run if he doesn't know not to take hits like that?
Absolutely. For him to be a starter in the league, an impactful starter in the league, they have to use his athleticism. He's not dynamic enough as a thrower or explosive enough as a thrower to justify to not using those legs. There are guys in the league that can be. Josh Allen would be one of those guys. Justin Herbert's one of those guys. He's not. It's such an interesting thing, and I say this all the time. When you're a quarterback in college football, you got to prove how tough you are to your teammates. You just have to. You're 19, 20. You're super impressionable. You got to prove by taking hits and running with the football and not being a slider, so to speak. In the NFL, that doesn't matter. You don't need to prove how tough you are by trying to run through somebody. Now, Daniel's trying to go score. I think it was third and goal. Trying to go score.
Right.
Yeah, so I can't knock Daniel in that moment. If that was first down and we're at the 25-yard line, then I'm saying you got to learn from the Andrew Luck and the, you know, Carson Wentz's and the Cam Newton's. You know, take the Aaron Rodgers advice of sliding to Joe Burrow, so to speak. They need to use him as a runner for his individual performance to be good enough and for their team's success.
But is it worth it? I mean, even on third and goal, is it worth it to take that hit, to lower your head and take that hit?
Michael, I'm going to be honest with you, yes. In that moment, third and goal on the road against the Cowboys, I don't think you could sit there and slide. I don't think you could sit there and avoid that hit. And we can all sit here and say, well, you can't duck your head, or he's trying to go make a play in the moment of competition. You wish it didn't happen. Again, the situational aspect of it, you got to go try to score in that moment. Absolutely.
Lamar Jackson, another phenomenal performance on Monday Night Football. But these fumbles at the goal line, what are you seeing? Is he just trying too hard, or is there something that concerns you that he hasn't been able to hold on to the football?
I'm not concerned. He's got to try too hard because he has to try too hard. He's got to play at a style that you don't want your quarterback to play at. I mean, they got 16 guys on IR. And I said this week, if Lamar was playing great, they would be 2-3. There is absolutely no way. You guys have been around the NFL for a long time. There's no way this football team should be 4-1. It just doesn't happen in the NFL. When you lose all those people, it just doesn't happen. He's playing at a level that is almost inexplainable, and the burden that he is carrying. Do I think it's sustainable? No. Do I think that they can try to, you know, be in the playoff conversation because of it, yes, and I would not have thought that. But what he has done has been absolutely remarkable. And I thought Monday, the morning, hey, this guy needs to be in the MVP conversation. If you told me that today that Lamar is your MVP of the NFL, I would not dispute it. He's just been that remarkable. Is the ball going to be put in harm's way? Is he going to, you know, maybe fumble a time here or there because of it? Yeah, but they have no shot of winning unless he plays that way.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
What's going on with Patrick Mahomes? I mean, this guy was the greatest who ever played by a lot of people. Now he's really struggling. We had Steve Young on Monday, Dan, and he said, you know, he never had to really pay for the fact that his footwork isn't great. He said young quarterbacks do. He didn't. Now he's paying for it. Is that what you're seeing too?
Yeah, you know, it's not only that he's never had to really pay for it, but he had success with it.
Mm-hmm.
He reached the top mountain with it. He was the best player in the league with it. And so you get away with stuff, so to speak, and winning covers up some of that stuff. I remember we watched this with Aaron Rodgers a little bit years ago when some of the physical talent started diminishing, mainly athletically, and he had such poor footwork for such a long time, and we'd go, man, is the footwork stuff catching up to him? I think with Patrick and the Chiefs, I think, first of all, the Chiefs' offense has been fantastic this year. They just played poorly on Sunday night. The turnovers are a big deal. I think the thought process of taking those completions, it's very similar to the statement I just made about don't pass up an open guy to get to a more open guy. We did a tape on NFL Live today. There three moments early on in that football game that actually are drives that become touchdowns. He's looking at a flat route to the tailback and he doesn't throw it. Throw it. Throw it. You have to. I know 2 years ago you didn't have to because we were a better team and our defense was better. You have to now. We're going to try a post-corner post to Robinson in the first quarter. It's covered. There's a guy on the sideline that if you kick the ball to him, he's going to get 8 yards. Throw it to him. Don't scramble for 2 yards and take a hit. And I just – it's almost – you got to retrain some stuff. And we often hear in the phrase in the NFL or football, like, what's your offensive identity? And a big thing that people need to understand is your offensive identity needs to be in relation to your football team. Your offensive identity can't be Chuck and Duck if your defense stinks, you know? And so your offensive identity needs to be something that is complementary of your defense. And I think the Chiefs are trying to figure it out. I'm sure they did not expect their defense to be historically bad. And so what offensive identity can they be given what they are as a defense? And maybe it is more put them under center, two tight ends on the field, ground and pound run game. And I think that's all attached to itself.
Dak's been tremendous, but we've seen this before early in the season. Go back a couple of years ago before the pandemic, an unbelievable MVP caliber first five, six games. Is this the year where he sustains it?
Yeah, absolutely. Number one, their offensive line is stupid good. And as long as they stay healthy, and even that, like Lyle Collins is playing, Steele is playing in his place, and he's been fantastic. You know, getting Zach Martin and Tyron Smith back and healthy, they're Hall of Famers. So, yes, because of the offensive line, I say this with everybody and when it comes to football, and I try to get fans to understand this. When you have a good offensive line, everybody's skill set gets magnified. It gets amplified because that offensive line can control stuff. And as a quarterback, I don't need to get the ball out in 2.5 seconds. I can get it out in 2.7 seconds. And as a quarterback, when I know I've got protection, I know that I can – my eyes, I don't need to see the defender. I can take the defender where I want him to be because I have that protection. But the running backs can run with more vision because the play is blocked the way it's drawn on paper. Receivers can win more on routes and sell more on routes because they don't have to get open so quickly. So everybody's skill set is magnified or amplified because of the good offensive line. And that's the case with Dak and the Cowboys. And I would also say this. Dak sweats the small stuff. You know, if you guys take your minds back to that 3rd-and-8 touchdown to CeeDee Lamb, that was really the pivotal moment in the game for me, at least. The offensive line gets the line of scrimmage, and they declare who the linebacker they're going to go to is. And that's cool. And then the back would have the backside linebacker. And Dak realizes that linebacker that you guys are going to right now, that's Logan Ryan. He's not blitzing, guys. I don't want you guys to block him. Go block that linebacker. And so what happens is it takes it to a different linebacker. He blitzes. The tailback, Tony Pollard, no longer needs to block him. He can go help in protection. The Giants actually win on a defensive line stunt. Pollard's right there to pick him up. That allows Dak the extra 0.2 seconds to get the ball downfield for a touchdown to make a perfect throw. And, like, those little things fans don't see. They just see the end result. But that's how they got there. And I think Dak sweating all that little stuff attached to that offensive line, man, they're going to be tough to beat.
All right, very quickly, in 10 seconds, is their defense good enough for them to be a Super Bowl contender?
Absolutely. They got the defensive player of the year right now.
Cool. Great stuff as always, Dan. Thank you so much.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, that's the Dan Orlovsky Report brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. All right, when we come back, we'll take some phone calls. We have a big ENN plan, really special stuff in this ENN. You're going to want to be here to hear it. Kay LaGreca-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.